MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. Happy now to be talking with Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith. A couple of topics to cover here today. And Chief Smith, welcome back to MSO.
Yeah, thanks. It's good to be back.
And I know that you were away for a while, and great to have you back. Let's talk a little bit about fire over the weekend. The boys have been very busy, it seems, the last few weeks, if not the last few months. And it seems to me there was rather a dangerous situation in Gloucester, I think it was Massasoit Avenue, on Sunday evening. All things considered, it's kind of a remote area. So could you give us a little background on that fire?
Yeah, sure. So, last night, into the wee hours of the morning, we had had a fire that was called in. There's a structure that, home that was up there. I believe it was a 1920s vintage, if you will, home that was there. And the address was 12 Massasoit. So it's kind of a tricky spot. To get to Massasoit over there is a pretty difficult road at best, to make your way up, to get kind of a good vantage point on it. So between the other streets in the area and, water pressure and water availability on a lot of these, spindly small roads with not a lot of homes on them is tough, because the water mains themselves can't be that large. It's just not, it's not what DPW can provide, because if you had a huge 12-inch water main feeding water to a neighborhood with 10 houses, those houses aren't going to use enough water to keep the water clean, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not using that water and it just sits stagnant in the pipes, then the chlorine residual levels drop, and the water does not retain enough of that chlorination to be safe for consumption. So, there's that balance between how much water are we going to use at the end of that line and throughout that area, how big of a pipe can that sustain, and will the use keep safe, because we're operating off the same water supply, right? So the fire hydrants are coming off the same potable water supply that the city supplies to everyone in town that has city water. Now, obviously, areas that have city water and a mixed use of wells make that even tougher on the DPW to balance, how big of a pipe can they put in the ground. So it gets a little tricky, and that was, part of the factors up there were, water supply, but that didn't change or impact the outcome, quite honestly. That fire came in after the neighbors, smelt what they thought was somebody, having a little pit or some kind of cooking fire outside, and went to close a window and looked out the window and saw a wall of fire a couple doors down. So that house was well involved. It's, pretty isolated out in the woods. Not a lot of people get eyes on that structure, and they didn't notice anything till they kind of looked in that direction and went, wow, that's not right, and that's a wall of fire. Let's call somebody. And sure enough, that's a bad sign for us, and we're already in a losing position before we even get the call. So the good thing is we're able to contain it to that structure and to that property, so that the damage didn't extend to anywhere else. The property itself is owned by a gentleman that lives out of town, and that they do not occupy that home. It sounds like very much at all. I didn't actually get to talk to him myself, but our investigators have been talking with him and working with him to try to sort out what the cause is on that thing. So it's still under investigation by our department with the assistance of the state fire marshal and the police department here in Gloucester.
Chief, how did your men determine, that everybody was, that the building was unoccupied? Because it must have been a pretty nasty situation when they got there.
Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, Rick, when we first pull up on something like this, if the indications are typically vehicles, in or around a home,
mm-hmm.
and most certainly the neighbors are always a big help. That's kind of the good neighbor policy. If you know your neighbors and you kind of know when they're home and what vehicles they drive, and it gives good indications of if folks are there. But at the point that we arrived to that fire, honestly, even before that, when the neighbors called that fire in, if had there been anyone in that house, they would have already been gone.
Okay.
The house was fully involved on our arrival, so that is just not a survivable
mm-hmm.
situation. It's not, we weren't able to make any kind of entry into that house. That place was was so well involved in fire, it was just a matter of kind of surround it and drown it and keep it from, you know, running through the woods and the trees and over to the neighbor's house and all of that. So it kept us pretty busy, you know, used up a lot of water, but, you know, big fires take big water, and you know, it's far simpler when folks have an occupied structure or residence that is a little bit more, you know, to our advantage, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
When someone's home or there more frequently, if something happens, we get the call a little bit quicker, and we got a better chance of putting that fire out when it's in its small incipient stage versus just free burning a whole house like that.
Finally, the paper reported that one of your men was injured. Any update on that?
Yeah, unfortunately, we did get a member injured over there. Like I said, it's when you got big fire, you got to move big water, and that takes big hose lines. So pulling those off the trucks and moving them around to get them positioned, especially if they're charged full of water, they're pretty heavy, and dragging them through the woods makes it even more difficult. So we had one individual, one of our officers, torqued his shoulder a bit, so we took him over to the hospital and had a look at that, and we'll see what they can do to get him back in the game sooner, but for now he'll be out of the game for a little while.
On the disabled list, I presume. Chief,
on the DL list,
there
yeah.
You go. Well, thank God it wasn't worse. Oh, my goodness. Couple of other topics here, Chief, while I have you on the line. I want to go back a few weeks ago. I know you were on vacation, but or out of town. I presume it was a vacation. Over at Beacon Marine, that was one of the most amazing scenes I've witnessed in that. You had a major, really what could have been a major fire in an old building with all kinds of flammables aboard, and the men did an incredible job in containing that.
Yeah, for sure. So men and women there at, you know, they did exactly what they've been trained to do and did it well at the right time, at the right spot. So, you know, things went very well. Daytime helps because you have good visibility, especially in those areas where, you know, you're on a wharf, you know, it's kind of cluttered and busy and it's old and not in the greatest of repair. So, you know, keeping an eye on footing and what you're stepping on and where you're going, that daylight makes a big difference. At night, you know, it's a little easier to see where the fire is, but it's not so easy to see, you know, where to go and how to get to attack that fire. But in that situation, yeah, it went extremely well. We've been, you know, I literally hit my 10-year anniversary being here as the fire chief on Saturday, and, you know, almost 10 years ago to the day on Saturday when I, you know, took my tours around the city, that's been a building of concern, and it's not just for me walking in as a new chief and the new guy looking around at the hazards that we have. You know, that's been a long-standing concern of most every firefighter that's still breathing, quite honestly, that's on the job or retired from this city. I mean, literally, we had, I don't know, the guys are telling me, you know, that when I'm getting the texts and talking on the phone to Bob Rivas, our assistant chief who was in charge over there, you know, he said, you know, we had probably a dozen or so of our retirees sitting on the wall right near the fire, kind of watching the game, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, see how all these new kids are going to do on a job that we know is going to be a tough job. And it was certainly a tough job, but, you know, it's a testament to fire prevention and sprinklering and so forth. So that's been a building that's been not only on this department's radar, but on my radar, and that we've taken, you know, an interest in making sure that the property owner there has done all they can do, you know, with a building of that age and vintage, that they've mm-hmm. done all they can do to make it as safe as possible, because it's residential property, right?
Right.
I mean, if it's a commercial property where nobody's going to sleep and laying their head down at night or during the day or whenever, then the risk of life loss is far less in a structure that operates normal business hours and that people aren't going to sleep.
Well, another great job by the Gloucester Fire Department, and thank you for correcting me and saying men and women. I will be careful from now on. I apologize for that to your female firefighters. Chief, and the other thing, Chief, I got to tell you, 10 years, man, you ain't aged a day, so congratulations on your anniversary.
You're being overly generous. The gray has overtaken most everything from the neck up, so it's the time waits for no man.
That just gives you the distinguished look of a man in command.
Yeah, we'll call it that.
Well, Chief, finally, I want to ask you about the weather situation. It's been particularly dry. We see drought warnings and so on. And what is the word from the Gloucester Fire Department with respect to Cape Ann in terms of the weather?
Yeah, I mean we definitely are feeling the lack of rain, right? I mean we entered into this kind of the summer season, the spring season, where there wasn't a predicted drought for our area, and now we're starting to see that. Well, we're falling a bit behind on the rainfall, and it's having its impact. And my personal yard as a kind of a barometer, when I look out in the woods behind me, or my dry browning grass in the front yard, is that it's dry out there. And we got a lot of fire load, not only just in around people's homes with trees and brush and bushes and whatnot. I mean, if they're getting dry, if they're creating a risk. I mean, the mulch, we've been on so many mulch fires this year, Rick. It's kind of almost ridiculous, to be honest with you. It's like, why are we running on so many mulch fires? Well, because it's that dry and it's been pretty hot, and it doesn't take much. Even though the cigarettes are, supposed to be quote unquote self-extinguishing, they don't seem to work, and they still create fires and mulch, and people have really bad habits of just flicking those things wherever. And sometimes the mulch fires are, their own combustion because of, piled up mulch that's, decomposing, creates enough heat, and the darker colored mulch seems to be more prevalent. But, so those things we've seen a lot of. We've already had, several significant brush fires early in the year, and I expect that will get worse. So my annual warning to everyone stands, that we have a lot of dead brush and trees in the woods and the areas around and about our community and our homes. Act accordingly. Be fire preventative. Clear that stuff away from your property. Dispose of it properly. Don't have unattended fires. Don't flick your cigarette out in the woods, or out the window of your car. It may have far more detrimental effects than you really think of at the time. So, and folks staying in the woods is a good thing. There's been those that have said, oh, hey, when it gets really dry, we should close the woods and not let anyone in there. Well, quite honestly, the folks that go in the woods and create problems, they don't follow the rules anyway, or they wouldn't have created those problems.
Mm-hmm.
And when we tell them don't go in the woods, all the good folks of this town that are our eyes and ears and help let us know that, hey, it smells and looks like something's going on out there, ladies and gentlemen, could you go handle it? And we do. When they're not out there, we get that message a little late, and that fire's already had a really good head start. So, since I've been here, my philosophy is no. Everyone go do what you normally do out in the woods and the trails, and keep an eye on these beautiful areas that we have, especially in the dry seasons. And you're our eyes and ears out there, and obviously act accordingly. The folks that are enjoying it know better than to set illegal fires and go out party in the woods and having a fire and flicking cigarettes around and all the nonsense that leads to these fires that the folks that follow the rules are, if they say, okay, fine, they said we can't go in the woods, now I lose that early alert. So, yeah, we definitely want folks out there doing the usual things and letting us know what they see and hear, and we'll try to manage what we can of it.
All right, that's a great point from Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.